The following message is presented to you by Grace Baptist Church in Kettering, Ohio.
And you may be seated. Brother Rick Rust was here at Missions Conference. He is with Baptist Church Planters. He is the assistant director to that. How many of you have heard the name Jessup, last name Brother Jessup? He directed it for years, and he went to be with the Lord
a year ago.
And Brother Rust has been involved with the ministry. In fact, up in Canada, he planted a church with the ministry and then reproduced another church up there with the ministry. And how long have you been a citizen?
A year and a half.
So, I mean, he's new to the States, but we're certainly glad to have him. Most recently, he pastored up in Toledo. Give me the name again.
Liberty
Baptist Church. I wanted to say Lighthouse. Liberty Baptist Church up there, and that church is continuing on for the Lord. And I met him at a conference over in Avon, Indiana, first of all, and then up in Michigan, and kind of struck up a friendship, and I appreciate his input. Further ahead of me in the ministry, and I appreciate the input and advice that he's given into my life already, and I appreciate getting to know him. And I'm glad that he's here today, and I believe that he will be a blessing to you. Just remember, as we send missionaries to the foreign field, we expect them to plant churches because that's a part of mission work. It's important. We want them to plant churches that become indigenous and self-supporting and so on. But that same job that we expect them to do there, we must do here if we are going to see America evangelize. There's portions of this area. There's people that this church will not have walk through its doors, but if we were to plant a church in another area of Dayton or an hour from here or whatever, again, another gospel witness that's there present where people can get to it. And I believe that we need to just ask the Lord, would you broaden our vision for that? Could we do that? Is that something that we as a church could be a part of? And I believe it would be a very exciting thing, but we want to just follow the Lord. I'm not trying to push anything on us. I just want us to follow the Lord, have open hearts to Him. And if you'll pray with me, increase our vision, I think today would be accomplished in the goal of why we're here today. So thank you so much for being here. Thank you for gathering at 9:30, and I'm going to turn it over to you.
Praise the Lord. Matthew chapter 28, please. Matthew chapter 28. I want to make this session this morning during the Sunday school hour a little more practical, but also I'm going to review just a little bit of what I taught in Sunday school the last time I was here. And so, just so we can kind of get our minds back in the right mindset, but then get into more of the practical aspect of it. By the way, what time does, I forgot to ask what time Sunday school ends. 10:15 and quarter to? Quarter after, are they? Okay, that's a half an hour span there. All right, very good. All right, I just hate to go over, and as a pastor, I hated when speakers went over, so I don't want to be one of them speakers, all right? So I don't want to go down that road. But what we want to look at this morning is how churches get involved in church planting, all right? That's our topic here for this morning, and Matthew chapter number 28, verse number 18. Of course, you know this passage very well, and it says, "And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." And so we saw here in this passage of Scripture the Great Commission. But what most people talk about the Great Commission is that people are to get saved, they're to get baptized, and they're to be discipled so that they can go out and see people saved, baptized, discipled, and keep that going on. And I said that many times as a pastor, all right? And I've been involved with Baptist Church Planting Ministry now for almost 20 years as a board member, different things, and I've even made the mistake of stopping and saying that was the full Great Commission, but that's not the Great Commission because it says there, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations." All right, so your job is not just to reach your neighbor to Christ, bring them to church, get them baptized, disciple them so that your neighbor can go win his neighbor to Christ. All right, and that is a big part of the Great Commission. You are to be doing that. We all should be doing that, but it says that we should be doing that in all nations. Well, how do we do that? Well, we've mastered the whole thing of world evangelism in Acts chapter number 1. Acts chapter number 1, verse 8 says, "But ye shall receive power, if the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witness unto me both in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth," right? And so we looked at that last time too. Obviously, Jerusalem, you are to reach your Jerusalem, amen? Kettering with the gospel of Jesus Christ, amen? Kettering should be turned upside down with the gospel of Jesus Christ because of Grace Baptist Church, amen? That ought to be your goal, ought to be your desire, it ought to be your burden. It's got to be a part of who you are as a believer that you're trying to reach your community with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Then it says Judea, which is kind of like today would be your state. Okay, Ohio, Samaria. We know the Samaritans were hated by the Jews, and so I like to call that Michigan. Amen. Well, I did it again, didn't I? I'm sorry, I forgot about that. I was thinking in my mind, did I upset somebody the last time I was here when I said that? And then as soon as I said it, I remembered. And then, of course, the uttermost part of the earth. So we're not just supposed to reach Kettering and Africa, or Kettering and Australia, all right? You're supposed to help reach Australia. You're supposed to help reach Africa, but you're also supposed to reach inner city Dayton, okay? We're supposed to reach the areas, the communities around us. And as your pastor mentioned, I'd encourage you to focus on a one-hour drive in a 360-degree radius of this church building, all right? And we'll look at why an hour is important in a bit here. Be praying over that area because it is your responsibility also to do that. Now you say, "Pastor, that doesn't make sense." Now I've known churches that have sent buses an hour and a half away from their church, pick up kids and bring them back. Okay? Now think about that. You might get a bunch of kids that way. Why? Because their parents think, let's see, an hour and a half drive there, an hour and a half drive back, plus they're in church. Woohoo, we have Sundays off, right? Try and get those parents, those families to come to church. I don't know about you. I wouldn't have gone on a bus an hour and a half with a bunch of screaming kids, drove to church, went to church for an hour and a half, 2 hours, and drove back an hour and a half with a bunch of screaming kids and done that. I would never have done that. But if a church in that community came and shared the gospel, I got saved, and I would start coming to that church because it's in my community. It'd be possible for me to go and to bring my family to that local church, all right? And so that's why we need to be going into all of these communities and make sure there's good gospel-preaching churches. And again, the Great Commission is not just to see people saved, right? We tend to focus on that. Yeah, we've got to have churches in these communities and see people saved. And that is great. Of course, that's the most important step, is they know Christ as their Savior. But once they know Christ as their Savior, they're to be baptized to a good church, amen? And then taught to observe all things. Well, they're getting saved over there. I know they don't believe this, and I know they don't believe that, and I know they teach wrong doctrine here, and they teach wrong doctrine there, but they're getting saved. Well, and that's great they're saved, and it's great they're going to go to heaven, but it's our job to teach them to observe all things. And so it's important also that we're teaching and discipling people true biblical doctrine. And so that's why it's important that we have churches in those communities that can do that and will teach them the true Word of God. All right, amen? And we're not just, you know, we're not talking here about frivolous things, you know, what side of our hair we should part our, or what side of our head we should part our hair on. All right? We're not talking about stuff like that. We're talking about true biblical teaching that is important, a proper stand on the Word of God, having the proper version of the Word of God so they can be grounded and discipled in a great way. So it's our responsibility, and it's your responsibility as a church. It's our responsibility for my church, Liberty Baptist Church. He mentioned that we reproduced the church from our church in Canada. Also, in the 11 years I was at Liberty Baptist Church in Toledo, we reproduced a church out of our church in Oregon, okay? And Oregon is a suburb of Toledo, not the state, all right? So it's the city of Oregon, all right? And so we went there and started a church. It cost us. We had three families, giving families, faithful families in our church that were coming from Oregon. But we couldn't reach Oregon. It was about a 25-minute drive from our church. It was a separate section of the city. And most people from Oregon, we could blanket that with literature and knock on doors, were not going to come to Liberty Baptist Church. So we started a church there. those three families started going there. Their offerings went over there. But praise God, we have another church there. And Liberty is still going. Amen. It's still fine. It's okay. And it is a wonderful thing. And so it's as a church should have a burden and a desire. So the first thing we need to do is pray as a church for a burden and for an area. Romans chapter 10, verse number 1, the Bible says, "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved." Paul had a heart for his people. Amen. Your pastor just asked how long I've been a citizen. I've been in the States for 11 years. I want you to know I came in the front door. So coming in the front door was a process. All right, 4 years on a visa. It was a beautiful thing. We only got a 3-year visa to start with. They said, no problem, you'll have a green card by then. And they changed all the rules. So it took us 4 years and an extra $1,000 for that extra year. Praise the Lord. And then from the visa, we went to the green card stage. That is the hardest stage, by the way. The last stage of citizenship is pretty easy because they basically turn you inside out, upside down, and totally investigate every aspect of your life in the green card stage if you come in the front door. All right. And so we did that and went through all of those stages. And then finally, we got to citizenship stage. That's where you have to memorize 100 questions. They give you the 100 questions in advance, but you have to memorize all 100 answers. And they ask you randomly 6. The computer pulls up, 10. The computer pulls up 10, and you have to get 6 right. And so I want you to know I got the first 6 right, so they stopped. Amen. So that was good. And so my wife and I have now become citizens of the United States of America. But, you know, I mention all that for this reason. We love the United States of America. And thank God that God's called us here. And we have a burden for this country. Yeah, sure, I want to see churches started in Canada also. I want to see souls saved in Canada. But God's given me a burden for the United States of America and to see churches established here. Many people think, well, we're all done. Well, you know, church, America's got enough churches. Let's send churches to other parts of the country, or the other parts of the world. Do you think America today, look around, you watch the news on a daily basis, do you think that this is a vibrant Christian nation that as a nation loves God and the principles of the things of God? Amen. That's why we never hear things about 57 genders in the news, or we don't hear things about you can go to any restroom you want at a store, right? All of these kind of things that we never hear. You older folks probably thought you would die before you had ever heard that in the United States of America. Yet our country is becoming more and more secular, getting more and more away from the things of God. We need to have a burden for our own nation, or we're going to become like England and many other countries around this world that used to be a gospel light sending nation. And now you go to England and beautiful church buildings on the inside are bars. Literally bars and dance halls and everything else. They didn't want to tear down the outside of the building because of historic value. But on the inside, they literally have pubs and dance halls and all sorts of wickedness and immorality going on inside of those buildings. And that can happen right here too in the United States of America if we do not have a burden for our country. So we need to do that. Now, how are we going to gain this burden? Well, I believe as a church, it would be very good and very important for you to have special prayer meetings and praying for God to give you a burden for this area and for God to lead this church and to lead your pastor into where you would start a local church in this area. All right. Again, just think in your mind an hour drive in any direction and think of different communities. Now, again, several of you might start saying, well, you know, I know about this community. And somebody might say, I know about that community. Maybe you submit those community names to your pastor and there could be a special prayer list put up. And I'm not saying you pray about that every service, but that we are praying. And as a church, you ought to be praying about where would God have you to start a church, and that God would give you a burden for it, that God would give your pastor a burden for it and a passion and a desire to see a church started in that community. I would also encourage you to drive and pray. Now, of course, we obviously know you're going to drive with your eyes open. Amen. But drive and pray. And what does that mean? As you're driving around these communities, and I do that all the time, as I travel the nation now, I get into communities over and over and over again. I say, I wonder if there's a good church here. I wonder if there's a good church here. And I'll see an area that's really growing. We were just down in the Waco, Texas area, and there was an area outside of Waco. It seemed like it was very new. It was growing, a lot of new housing. And I'm thinking, I wonder if there's a good church here. I wonder if there's a gospel light here in this part of Texas. And pray as you drive around, as you go to work, as you go to the mall, as you go and visit friends and loved ones in the area, and just start praying that God would give you a burden and God would lead this church to the right spot. The second thing you need to do is, as a church, you need to pray that God would give you a place to start a church. Amen. So we were doing that at Liberty. We were praying, and God was laying on my heart to start a church in Oregon, the city of Oregon. All right. So what do we need next? You're going to start a church. That church is going to need a pastor. Okay. And so that's the next thing you got to pray about. All right. Because it doesn't help if you say, okay, we're going to start a church, inner city Dayton. All right. Let's get a building. Let's do all that stuff and then start the church. And then you all come back here. Well, who's going to pastor over there? Right. And so you need to start praying about that. So pray as a church for God's man. Acts chapter number 8 and 9. In Acts chapter 8, verse number 1, persecution came to Jerusalem. Remember, the church of Jerusalem was there, and they were given the Great Commission. They were supposed to reach the entire world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And the Bible says in Acts 5 that they turned Jerusalem upside down with the gospel. They were doing a great job in Jerusalem, but they stayed there. And that wasn't God's plan. That wasn't God's will. That wasn't God's purpose. And I personally believe that there's a lot of churches in America today that are suffering, that are going through trials and tribulation because they are not fulfilling the Great Commission. They are thinking about themselves, growing in themselves, which is a good thing. They're reaching their communities. They're seeing their churches grow. They're adding more programs, and all of those things are needed for the local church. But they're not thinking beyond themselves, not thinking about the entire Great Commission and reaching their entire area for the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's what happens here in Acts chapter 8, verse 1. They're scattered abroad. Now, who was scattered? The church people were scattered. The members of the church were scattered. Only the believers were scattered. The first church planters were laymen out of that local church. Your pastor and I and a couple other strange fellows from... No, I'm just kidding. And a few of us last night were talking, and we were talking about Bible college and all sorts of things. And I was sharing how when I was at Liberty, I sent kids to Bible colleges and all that, but then we started our own Bible Institute, and it was really a blessing to our church. It was really a blessing to me, and seeing people trained within the local church. And as you think about that, you can kind of say, hey, you know, that's, you know, how can you argue that that's not God's plan, amen, that you're getting trained through the local church? And maybe there's somebody here in this church right now, maybe somebody here in the auditorium this morning that is sitting here that maybe God's working on your heart. Maybe you just need some training and some teaching on how to become a pastor and serve God in that area. But we need to be praying amongst yourselves. Now, what happened with us is that God brought a man to us. I've been praying for a while, and God brought Brother Jim McCourt our way. And the first time I met Brother McCourt, he was not pastoring at the time, and we ran into each other, and I took him out for lunch, and I said, listen, would you pray about this? Our church will help you start a church. Are you willing to be a church planter? Would you feel that God would have you to plant a church? And he took some time to pray about that, and I remember in one of our preaching services, he came forward and surrendered his heart and life to say, yes, I believe God has led us to plant a new church and to do it through Liberty Baptist Church. Amen. And so you need to be praying as the churches back in the New Testament, Acts chapter 8, as the members were scattered. The problem was, as the members were scattered, you know, persecution could hit Toledo, and some of our members come to Kettering, and guess what? There's a good church for them to come in Kettering. Hallelujah. Back in Acts chapter 8, when the church was scattered, no matter what community you went to, there was no church. They had to start one. Amen. They kind of put their feet to the fire. But it shows us right from the very beginning, the intention that God had for every church is that we're continually planting churches, planting churches, planting churches. In Acts chapter 8, verse 4, they went everywhere preaching the word. And the result of this preaching and dispersion was the multiplication of churches. And we see in Acts chapter 9, verse 31, then had the churches rest throughout all Judea, Galilee, and Samaria, and were edified and walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Ghost, they were multiplied. And so because of people going out from the local church, sending out through the local church, and maybe it's not somebody that's sitting here this morning, maybe God will bring a man from a Bible college or maybe a man from a good church like this one that has a burden for the Dayton area and brings them here and serves in your church for a bit and then goes out to start this church. But you need to, as a church, be praying that God will give you a burden for an area, a community to start a church. And then you need to be praying that God would bring the right man to come along to pastor that church. Now, thirdly, what do we need to do now? Well, there's preparations that need to take place for the church plant. All right, now I'm going to use an example here. I'm just using this as an example. All right, your pastor has not said this is what we're doing, okay? But I just want you to have a picture in your mind, okay? And so I'm going to pick on Ben just because he's a staff member and I know he can handle it. All right, so your church is going to reproduce a church, inner city Dayton, and Ben is going to be the church planter. All right. So you got that picture in your mind. All right, who is starting the church? Grace Baptist Church is starting the church. All right? You might think, well, Ben's starting a church. No, he's not. He's going to be the pastor of the new church. Churches reproduce churches. Grace Baptist Church of Kettering is starting a church. Okay? And so when you're young and you first got married and you had children, who was having the children, right? The parents, right? We're going to have the kids, right? We understand that. And so you're going to give birth to a new church. Grace Baptist Church is going to be starting a church. So who is the authority? Who has the only authority to start the church? Who has the authority to oversee and make sure that the church is started properly? Grace Baptist Church of Kettering, and through the leadership of your pastor. So let's say Ben comes up to your pastor and says, well, we're going to start a church that's going to be Calvinistic and Pentecostal and use any version of the Bible. You know what your pastor, I'm guessing, would say? We're going to find a new guy. Okay? All right, you're done, Ben. All right, you're out of the picture. All right, why? Because again, you guys start the church. Your pastor is going to oversee that. He has the authority in all of the decisions made. Now, as you know, I serve with Baptist Church Planting Ministry. We get asked all the time, how many churches have you started? I always say zero. People think, well, you're not very good. Well, the reason is we have no authority to start a church. We're a ministry. We are not a church. And so it's at this point where a church like Grace Baptist of Kettering would say, we would like you to come and help us. And what we do then as a ministry is we serve as basically like an assistant pastor to your pastor to help him with all of the details. Because there's a lot of things, little things that need to take place for a church to be planted. And you say, well, can our pastor do that? Yes, he can. And there's no biblical mandate for you to ask us to help. Okay? There's no biblical mandate for Ben to be on staff and help your pastor either. But it sure is a blessing to have him here. Amen? And I'm sure it's helping this church to be more effective having an assistant pastor. And so one of the reasons why I believe that it's helpful to bring in a ministry like ours is because your pastor then can focus on still pastoring you and pastoring this church. But also, there's a lot of pastors in America that have never started a church and don't know all of the details, and it's just helpful to have somebody give you advice to make sure that nothing is missed. I was just with a man who does a John and Romans ministry, and I smiled when he told me the story because I hear it all the time. He was at a meeting last January. A young man came up to him and says, I'm starting a church. Can I get 25,000 John and Romans for us to distribute for the promotion of our new church? He goes, sure, no problem at all. He says, we can help you with that, but I need notice. You already know what's happening, right? Last January. Guess what happened in the middle of December this year, or this past year, okay? Just a few weeks ago. The guy gets a call. All right, I'm getting ready to start church. Can I get those John and Romans? Sure, when do you need them? 2 weeks. Well, John and Romans, don't just sit on a shelf. They got to have customized covers and everything else. You got to have them well organized. And the guy tried to tell him, but the kid left at the last minute. Well, having somebody help you with a checklist and all of these different things helps prevent that from happening. But it takes no authority away from this church, takes no authority away from your pastor, because if we said, all right, we want to, our ministry, for example, provides the John and Romans. So let's say we're gonna donate them. So we say, all right, we're gonna get you 50,000 John and Romans, and your pastor says, no, we don't want John and Romans. Okay, no John and Romans it is. All right, you have the authority in every decision, every aspect that takes place. So what do you need to do at this point now? Of course, you need to find a meeting place, and this is where at this point, usually a ministry like ours, what we would do, we would work more closely at this point with Ben, because he's going to be the boots on the ground. But your pastor would know everything we're doing. And, of course, he's welcome to come along on any survey trip or every little thing that we're doing. But if he's busy that day and only Ben can go, that is fine. But we need to find a meeting place. Then we need to prepare proper documents, such as a constitution. We've had a lot of young guys say to us, I don't want to write a constitution until we start the new church so our new members can be a part of voting in the Constitution. And they're so excited, and they're smiling from ear to ear, and they think this is the greatest thing. And we have to kind of burst their bubble in a nice way and tell them, listen, that's not a very good way to do it. Because many times when you start a church, let's say over 50% of those people that you've started this church with have come from other church backgrounds and or are just saved. And now you're talking to them about your constitution and, well, our church that I'm from has this and our church that I'm from has that. All of a sudden, your church is not starting a Baptist church anymore. Or your church is not starting a church that is standing strong on the Word of God. And that's why we encourage that Ben and your pastor would get together and work on a constitution and present it to the deacons. And the deacons would look over that constitution, and the pastor and deacons then would bring it to the church and say, listen, this is going to be the constitution for the new church that started. And traditionally, and again, this can happen at different stages. I'm trying to show you typically what happens in a church plant, okay? It'd be like saying, this is typically what happens in a delivery of a baby, okay? Now, we could have all you ladies stand up and we'd hear some different stories. A friend of mine, she gave birth in the hospital parking lot. Okay, was that baby born? Yes, it was. Baby alive? Yes, it was. Is that typical? No. Praise the Lord. Amen. If I'd have died and my wife gave birth in the parking lot and I had to, her husband had to finish the delivery. I'd have died right then and there. She would have had to get a new husband to help her raise the kids. I'd have been done. All right, but that's not typical. But we understand a typical delivery, and that's what I'm trying to show you here, typical. And so what we've seen churches do then is just before the church plant starts, your pastor would get up in the church and vote to officially start the church, vote in the Constitution and the Articles of Faith, and vote in Ben as the new pastor of that church. And then when you go and have the official kickoff, you do all of that, the church is turned over to the church planter, and everything is official, everything is in place, and you don't have new people coming to that church trying to change things and trying to make your church that you've just given birth to something that it shouldn't be. Amen? And so you're taking care of all of those things. The other thing that we help do is get area churches involved. Now, what do we need area churches involved? Well, again, when you had your first baby, I know we had our first baby, we had baby showers, and we had her parents and my parents, and we had aunts and uncles and brothers and sisters and all that stuff, and they're helping us with the nursery stuff and buying cribs and all these things and painting the nursery and all sorts of things that, baby diapers and clothes and sleepers and all that kind of stuff, and the stuff just kept coming into the house. Now, did we need all of that stuff? Did we have to have other people to help us with those things in order to have a baby? No, she was already expecting a child. We're having the baby if nobody gave us a thing. But it sure was a blessing to have all that help, amen? And to have that crib paid for, the first crib paid for, and bassinet and all that stuff, the change table and all those things. And it's great to have that help, isn't it? And it doesn't take away the authority of the parents who is having the child. And so it is with church planning. What we many times will do is have area churches get involved. And we'll do what we call a pastor's luncheon several weeks before the church has started. And we'll ask area pastors to come and share with them what's happening with the church plant. We'll share with them the budget. So just like you as with babies need a crib and right? All the little things. Well, what Ben's going to need is a PA system and an offering plate and a Lord's Supper set and all different things like that, literature to hand out in the community. And all these little things that are needed. And these area churches then, leadership of their pastor can say, you know what, we're going to pay for the advertising for the week of meetings. And we're going to pay for this and we're going to pay for that. And they help out with the expenses of the birth of that church. And again, under the leadership of your pastor and leadership of this church, but they can get involved and help out with that. And then what we do then is we're getting closer to the church plant. What happens is these same churches will help. Now, I mentioned earlier, we donate John and Romans. Traditionally, what happens in most church plants, well, all church plants that we have helped out with, is that we go and give away these John and Romans. So some communities only need 5,000. We've done up to 90,000 John and Romans for one community. All right, it was a big city, a city of 600,000. And so we gave 90,000 John and Romans to that church plant. Now, could you imagine, Ben, you and your wife, here's 90,000 John and Romans. Now go hand them out. All right, how about if we said, for this church to hand out 90,000 John and Romans, door to door. That's a lot, isn't it? But wouldn't it be great if 10, 12 churches here in Ohio came and helped you do that? Brought a van load, brought a bus load. And that's what happened in that church that had the 90,000 John and Romans. Several churches came and helped. And so over a three-week period, they're coming. And the John and Romans is a, you know, obviously, most of you probably know what a John and Romans is. It's got the gospel in it and so forth. And it tells about the church. But we don't put specifics on the John and Romans cover for a reason. Let's say we were going to do 40,000 and you only got 30,000 out. The churches have been known to save those extra 10,000 and on their one-year anniversary, hand those 10,000 out. And so what we do is we put an insert, a full-color insert into each John and Romans that talks about the official church plant. Traditionally, a church plant is, for example, a Sunday night to a Thursday night week of meetings type thing. And there's different ways depending on the community. Some communities you can't do that. Some communities are bedroom communities. And, you know, you talk to pastors, even midweek services for them are tough because, you know, the average person in their church gets done work at 5 and has an hour and a half to 2 hour commute home. And then, you know, by the time they get home and grab something quick to eat, it's hard to get to church for 7 o'clock, all right? And so to have a week of meetings in a community like that is very tough. And so obviously working with the pastor and so forth, we have to work on some of those things. But there's the distribution of for the week of meetings. And so again, area churches come and they help pass out the John and Romans and invite the community to come. And what these meetings are typically about is, come and see what Blank Baptist Church is all about, all right? So if it's going to be also called Grace or whatever it's going to call Bible Baptist Church, come and see what it's all about. And so we have those week of meetings. Now, what typically takes place in that week of meetings, again, is your church would come. Now, you say, why did you say an hour away? Well, can you imagine if your church was planning a church 5 hours from here and your pastor says, every night I want you to come. Well, you're going to have to go there for the 4 or 5 days and get a hotel. I don't know if any of you could drive 5 hours there to be there for 6 o'clock. And then when the service is over, drive 5 hours back. And the next day, do it again. And the next day, do it again, right? You'd have to get a hotel room or something. Now, it can be done. But most of you, within an hour drive, could go and help out with that church plant. And what you do during that week of meetings is you might provide your choir one night. You say, well, that doesn't make sense because Ben's not going to have a choir his first Sunday. No, he's not going to have a choir his first Sunday. But why are we going to show them a choir on Monday night? to let them know this is the type of church that this church has a vision for, and this is the kind of music this church is going to have. We also, again, ask area pastors to come to the week of meetings. And why do we do that? Well, again, it's great. You know, Ben goes into a community. Nobody knows Ben. So he gets up. He can't get up and say, "Hi, I'm Ben, and I'm amazing. You need to come to hear me." Right? If he did that, most people would say, "Oh, this guy's so arrogant, we're out of here," right? Now, your pastor could get up and say, "I know Ben, and he's amazing." Now, that helps, but they're going to say, "Well, yeah, but you're his pastor, you know, da, da, da." And so now, again, picture in your mind, you have this week of meetings, and on Monday night, one pastor comes, and he opens in prayer. And before he opens in prayer, he gives a testimony about Ben and encourages the community about Ben, and he opens in prayer. You know what that does? It not only encourages the local community that this is a good guy, but what it's saying is that the pastor of this church is behind the new church. Then, at the offering time, another pastor usually gets up and prays. And not only does he pray, we encourage him to bring a check. Amen? That's a good thing. And so he'll get up, and he'll not only say something nice about Ben, he'll say, "Listen, our church is behind this work, and I want you to know we brought an offering tonight to show that we are behind this work." And again, what that's doing is lending the credibility of that church to the new work. And if you do that every night, you've got several churches now lending their credibility to the new church. Because you've got to understand, people from the community come to visit this new, you know, these get acquainted meetings and come to visit this new young pastor. Well, who is he? Where is he from? You know, should we trust him? Should we get behind him? Do you think people in this country have been tried to be swayed by charlatans before? Do you think people in this country have had guys come into communities, say they're going to do this, this, and the other thing, and they you know, fell way short of that, and people's lives have been hurt and so forth? Of course. And so all of these churches and your pastor lending their credibility to the new work helps with that. So again, we host the Get Acquainted meetings, and again, under the leadership of your pastor, many times the cord is cut on the Thursday night, and Ben then officially starts the church, or, you know, again, whatever your church feels is right, when to cut the cord is predetermined beforehand. But again, traditionally we host the week of meetings, and at the end of that week of meetings, normally what we do is have the church planter preach only on the Thursday night. And I don't want to get into all the details and reasons why we do all that, but Thursday night, Ben gets up, shares his vision for the community. We encourage everybody, if you can only come back one night, come back that night. And then that Sunday, it's yours. These guys all come back here, and it's yours. Now, traditionally, we would ask, you know, your pastor, maybe send a nursery worker along for the first few weeks, or, you know, somebody to play a piano if you could, or somebody to be an usher, you know, a door greeter, something, to help them out for a few weeks until they can get some people together and some people trained to take that over. But these are kind of the nuts and bolts, the practical aspects of what takes place. But it all begins with this church praying, "God, give us an area, give us a burden to reach a part of our community with the gospel of Jesus Christ by planting a new local church, getting a pastor, and then going through all the steps to get that church birthed." How long does that take? Well, I do believe there's some planning involved. We've had some guys call us up and say, "Hey, can you help us start a church?" "Sure, when?" "3 weeks." Well, we say, "We'll pray for you." It's kind of hard to organize everything in 3 weeks, all right? And you know, I don't think there's much wisdom in that. I don't think your pastor's going to get up next Sunday and say, "Guess what? In 3 weeks, we're starting a church," all right? But also, I've shared with this before with you, is when you guys are having kids, remember when I was here last time, I said, how many of you had $100,000 in the bank by the time you had your first kid, your house paid for, cars paid for, right? All this stuff, right? I don't think anybody here could say they did that, right? We just stepped out by faith and had those kids. And I thank God I have 3 kids, adults, married, none of them died, all of them ate, all of them had clothes, amen, and God provided. And so when Can you start a church? Well, to me, it's in God's hands. If you're praying that God will give you a burden and a man, you're now saying, God, it's in your hands. When would you have us start a church? It could be next year. It could be 5 years from now. I don't know. I can't tell you when that is. But it starts with what this church is going to do. Are you going to pray, God, give us a burden to reach our area with the gospel of Christ? And the only way you're going to fulfill that fully is by planting churches all around. Let's pray. Father, we love you. I thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to share just practical nuts and bolts, just little things. It kind of helps people to get a picture and an image in their head what happens with a church plant and how a church plant comes about. And God, I pray you give this church a burden right now and help them to start praying that God would lead them to the place and to the man that they would need to start a church. We thank you and praise you in Christ's precious name. Amen.
Thank you for listening today. We invite you to find out more about Jesus at our website, gracebaptistofkettering.org. And remember, you're always welcome at Grace Baptist Church.